Phil Cartwright has joined us here on Sports Byline USA. Again, long career in the NBA, one of the big men during a time when big men were important in NBA basketball, which we'll talk about a little bit later on with Bill. Bill, you mentioned about the fact that you wanted to stay in state to play your college ball. Then you get drafted in the 79 draft, third overall by the New York Knicks. What did you know about New York City?
Not much. I knew I was going cross country. So, but at that point in time, you know, we were really happy and content with what had happened at USF. And, you know, we didn't obviously win a championship, but I thought that we played really well. And physically, I felt like I was ready to go. So I knew I was going to get drafted by either Chicago or New York. So I was ready. I was prepped, excited.
The reason I say that is that New York can be a totally different animal because of the media, just the size of it, the focus, the attention given to a team like the New York Knicks, and a coach like Red Holtzman, who was there as well. So what were your expectations? What did you expect it to be like, and how was it similar to or different from what you found?
Well, I think the big thing is that when you're a young guy, you don't really care. You just want to get there. You want to be able to prove yourself. You're a big, young, strong kid, so I was really prepared to just compete against whoever was there. So when I got drafted by the Knicks, Marvin Webster was already there, who was a really good center in the league. So, you know, we had great training camps, and by the time training camps started settling in, you felt like you belonged. So I wasn't worried. I wasn't thinking anything about New York. I wasn't thinking anything about the media. For me, my mindset was more like, here I come.
You were averaging 20 points a game, I believe, in your first year. You were rookie of the year in the NBA, and also I think you were double digits as far as rebounding goes as well. The acclimation to playing in the NBA, what did you have to do differently in the NBA when you first started as compared to what you had to do in college basketball?
Well, just learn. Learn, for one thing, because I was a scorer in the league, so I could score, but I sure the hell couldn't guard anybody. So that's the big thing is getting the knowledge of the players and learning how to guard. But you got to remember, when I came in the league, they still had some pretty formidable guys, especially big guys. Guys like Bob Lanier were still in the league. My first game was against Daryl Dawkins. Kareem was still in the league. Dan Issel was in the league. So there were some pretty big cats. As a matter of fact, here, Clifford Ray was in the league, backed up by a guy by the name of Robert Parrish, who was a very angry young man when he played for Golden State. So seemingly every night you were going to get a challenge by somebody, and that was pretty consistent, especially when you run into a guy like Moses Malone on a Wednesday night. And you know you better bring your best game. And this is after you just played against Bob Lanier. So there were some great, great big guys.
I always considered that Boston, New York, Philadelphia, that kind of circle there of those three teams, Eastern basketball and the NBA, something very, very special. What was it like?
Well, just a lot of tradition. A lot of tradition going on. You walk into the Boston Garden, and there's that mystique of playing there. Philly, probably not so much. You know, even though I can remember my first shot block in the NBA was against Dr. J. So Doc took a shot, I blocked it, and I'm thinking, oh my God, I blocked Doc's shot. So it was just more of that kind of introduction. Everything was new. Everything was exciting. Playing in New York, there was a lot of anticipation. We had a young team. We did have a great coach with Red Holtzman, but just an entire learning experience that was going on. And my teammate, which I was very excited about, was Earl Monroe. So it was just a lot of fun to be able to play with him, to play with Jim Clemens, to play with Marvin Webster. Guys like Josie Merriweather, Michael Ray Richardson, Ray Williams, a couple of guys that I came in with, Larry Dimmock. Hollis Copeland, Jeff Houston, all young guys. So we were just getting together, learning how to play, a little mixture of the old with the new.
Tell me about the first time you met Red Holtzman.
Red was great. Red was a real common sense kind of guy. If you weren't shooting well, he'd say, "Why aren't you shooting better?" If you weren't guarding well, he said, "You got to guard him better." So, I loved Red. Red just let you play and let you kind of figure things out. And if he saw great effort out of you, he pretty much left you alone. So you just understood the history behind him. And, I had a lot of respect for him. So it was great being around him every day.
I think two of the most iconic places to play professional basketball, one was Boston, of course. I did games up there, but also the Garden. There's an atmosphere in the Garden. There's an understanding of New York basketball fans. What was it like as you either were on the floor or maybe during a rest period sitting on the bench?
Well, you know, the fans are always excited, like any really good sports town. And Boston is the same, where there's an expectation level of just effort. So you know that if you're giving great effort, the crowd really appreciates it. So you just know you better bring it every night. And more than anything, I really felt that that's what the crowd brought. And also, as you know, the New York fans are, I'm not sure, maybe you can help me with this, if they're really more knowledgeable or just more opinionated. So I know what I think, but they do voice themselves greatly, and seemingly they do know a lot about you.
Well, I'll put them in the same category as the fans in Philadelphia, where they boo a bad landing at the airport. So that should that should answer that question as well. I know during that period of time you had problems with your feet. I know Bill Walton had the same problem up in Portland as well. Does that sap a player's confidence, wondering what he can and can't do with his body?
No, because it was silliness. You know, I played two straight years, 164 straight games. And during the summer, I was working out, and I'll tell you what happens. I stepped on a rock, or I ran. I was running, and I ran. I stepped on a rock, and it bruised my foot. And being the young, silly guy that I was, I kept running on it and developed a stress fracture. So then I go from playing 164 straight games to being injury prone. So I had to have a pin put in my foot. And it just took some time to heal. It took about a year and a half. So I wasn't in Bill Walton's type of situation, but as you know, with the media there, now he's injury prone. Nah, I'm fine. I'm fine. Never had trouble with my feet after that.
It's always people that have never played the game that make those type of judgments, isn't it?
yeah, but that's New York. But that's okay, because it was another learned experience.
Let me ask you about Patrick Ewing coming in, because it was a transition to Ewing becoming the dominant center for the Knicks and you playing somewhat of a backup role. How did you take that? How did you assimilate that into your playing life?
Patrick and I had a great relationship. I remember the first day at training camp, he was guarding me really tight, and I hit him right in the mouth, busted his lip. He had to go to the doctor. So the next day I went up to him, and I said, "Hey, Patrick, look, both of us are really physical players, and we're going to have to play together to try to make each other better." He says, "Hey, I'm glad you came up and talked to me, because I thought you did that on purpose." I said, no. We're going to work together. We're going to make each other better. And from that day, we've been great friends. So I really admire Patrick. He's worked really hard throughout the course of his career, made himself into a really good player offensively. He was always a great defensive player, shooter, just all through hard work.
We've got about 40 seconds left, but did you get into the role of mentoring him, or was that you still too early in your career to feel like you needed to do that with somebody?
Well, you know, a big part, you know, I never felt like I was a great athlete. But I've always felt that I was always really well prepared for every situation. So, you know, when we're talking about basketball and talking about how you're going to guard somebody, and how you're going to attack somebody and what is your philosophy. I always felt like that I was really well prepared that way. So it just with all the young guys, you know, it started with Patrick and then continuing throughout the Chicago Bulls, to have an understanding of how you're going to be successful on the floor and what the team needs from you. So just mentally, I've always felt that I've had an advantage of play, of just being able to think about it, to be able to analyze what's going to be necessary to be successful on the floor. And luckily, I was with a pretty damn good team with the Bulls.
We're going to talk about that when we come back on the other side. Continue with Bill Cartwright on Sports Byline.